Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports, brought to you by Dr. Burns and Dr. Springer Orthodontics. Have your smile straightened in style. 107 Ray Avenue Northeast, New Philadelphia.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. Chris, another beautiful week for more high school sports, baseball, softball, even track and field's getting some great weather right now.
Absolutely it is. It's finally getting nice out, but I can see this nice weather is giving you a little bit of under the weather stuff.
Yeah, for some reason I got some silly cold coming on. I made the mistake this past Sunday night sleeping with the window open a little bit, and it kind of crept up on me by Tuesday, and now I sound like I have a frog in my throat. So
yes, you do, but yes. That's okay. You know, I got the allergies this time of year, so I'm hopped up on Allegra, so it's all good.
So if you hear me sniffling, don't mind me.
Right, exactly. I'm with you. Taking a look at some high school scores in this week of sports. TCC knocks off previously unbeaten and state-ranked Sandy Valley in softball action yesterday, the 19th. They beat them 3-2. Brooke Beamer had two singles and two RBIs. TCC now 7-3 on the year, 4-1 in the IVC. Sandy Valley drops to 12-1 and 5-1 in the IVC. Kind of stunning.
That's a big win. But TCC, they did knock off Strasburg a week or two ago. They have four really good teams in the IVC this year, Sandy Valley being one of them, TCC being another one, Strasburg, of course, and then Garaway still undefeated as well. And that big matchup's tonight Wednesday, the 20th, between Sandy Valley and Garaway up on the hill in Sugar Creek. That should be a good matchup. But TCC knocking Sandy Valley off kind of took the luster off the battle of the undefeated, so to speak, tonight.
That's totally what I was going to say. Everybody was wanting to see that big undefeated battle, and it's not going to happen now. But, maybe they can, Sandy Valley, that is, can take a little revenge out on Garaway. As Garaway, they remained undefeated with an 18-2 crushing of rival Highland yesterday, the 19th. Hannah Halstead hit two home runs and drove in nine. Man, I'll tell you what a game. I hear that she is a Malone commit, and, they're going to get somebody that can hit two home runs and drive in nine runs in a game. That's pretty good. As like you said, Garaway stays undefeated at 14-0, 5-0 in the IVC. They're ranked fifth in Division III. Highland falls to 2-14.
Yeah, they're just not very good, unfortunately, this year. Highland, they're kind of down. Their program's down a little bit. But you know what? You can't be good every year. Their basketball program's good every year. We know that. But some years, you're just down. Garaway's having a year. The last few years, Garaway's been really good. Sandy Valley's been coming on. I know Sandy Valley's been pretty good over the last couple years as well. Of course, Strasburg's always there. TCC's been consistent the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I'm actually probably going to go up on the hill and watch a little bit of that game tonight between Garaway and Sandy Valley. I think that'll be a really good matchup. I bet you it's a low-scoring matchup. I don't think it's going to be a 10-9 by any means. I think it's going to be more like a 4-3, maybe 5-4, something like that. But it's neat to see these area teams, even with baseball, be so good each spring.
Oh, absolutely. In New Philadelphia, they hammered Riverview 14-3. Hannah Payton had two doubles, a single, two RBIs. Kelsey Kinsey with two singles, a double, and three RBI for the Quakers. Ridgewood over Malvern 5-4 in nine innings. The win came on a misplayed double play ball. Sam Wilson got the win on the mound, striking out 15 and added two RBIs at the plate. Ridgewood's 9-5 and 5-4 in the IVC. Malvern drops to 3-5. Indian Valley blanked Dover 4-0. Ashley Schutte had a three-hit shutout, and Taylor Williams had two RBIs on three hits. Indian Valley, I was at the game, of course, and you know, when you limit Dover to three hits, not much you're going to be able to do. Dover was under a lot of the balls, a lot of lazy infield pop-ups, couple strikeouts. I'll tell you what, Ashley Schutte, she really pitched a good game.
Yeah, three-hit shutout. I mean, that's something that you can kind of hang your hat on a little bit. But usually pitching in high school, if you have a dominant pitcher, usually they're going to do well against every team, you know, and it's just something neat to see. In high school sports, I love seeing that pitcher's duel, or I love seeing that one-hitter, two-hitter, three-hitter, whatever it is, or even no-hitters sometimes that we get in high school sports. It's a lot of fun to see a dominant pitcher go out there and just do her thing.
And I'm calling our pitcher, Viv Capozzella, I'm calling her the Corey Kluber of the Tornadoes. She continues to improve after, like we talked about last week, struggled at the start of the year a little bit. Really has been pitching well. Can't get no run support. So Viv Capozzella is now the Corey Kluber of the Tornadoes.
It's Viv Kluber.
Yeah, Viv Kluber. We'll just go with that. But so the Tornadoes, they fall to Indian Valley yesterday. Claymont beat Meadowbrook 5-2 for its eighth straight win. McKenna Henry was the winner on the mound. Claymont now 11-3, 2-1 in the ECUL. In the final softball score, West Holmes 8-5 over Orrville. And moving into baseball scores from yesterday, the 19th, Highland over Garraway 8-0. Eric Mullett with a complete game three-hitter for the Hawks.
Interesting stat for that game, Chris. Eric Mullett for Highland extended his scoreless inning streak for earned runs to over 70 innings, which is now a state record for Ohio. Congratulations to him. Great record there for Eric Mullett of Highland. Again, extending his scoreless inning streak for earned runs to over 70 innings in that game.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Very impressive.
Oh, yeah. Especially doing it, you know, in our area that has so much parity on the baseball and softball side. That's impressive. Newcomerstown hammered Buckeye Trail 12-2. George Brode got the win on the mound for the Trojans. TCC over Sandy Valley 4-1. TCC got all its runs in the third inning. Dean Green got the win on the mound with 7 strikeouts. He also added a double to help himself out. Sandy Valley is 9-4 and 5-2 on the year. Strasburg smacked East Canton 13-4. Relief pitcher Mitch Spinell allowed no runs and had 2 singles and 3 RBIs at the plate for the Tigers. New Philadelphia beat Riverview 13-4. Quakers had 22 hits, led by Colton Thomas with 3 singles, a double, and 3 RBIs. 22 hits.
You know, that's just something that big offensive teams do, and they pound out hits, they get runs, and that's fun to watch too. I mentioned earlier,
that's
I love
spraying
watching
it around.
Yep, spraying it around and getting that offense rolling. That's always fun to watch.
Absolutely. And the final baseball score from yesterday, Claymont nipped Meadowbrook 4-3. Trevor Host retired the last 15 batters with 8 strikeouts for the Mustangs. Moving to track and field on the boys' side, New Philadelphia over Canton Central Catholic 83-54, Dover over Riverview 93-44, Newcomerstown 89, Ridgewood 82, Sandy Valley 72, Heritage Christian 6 in a little four-way track battle there. Indian Valley over Fairless 90-47, and Claymont blew out Coshocton 121-41, and the Rosecrans had 12. On the girls' side, New Philadelphia beat Canton Central Catholic 76-59, Dover ripped Riverview 90-47, Carrollton over Alliance 72-56, Indian Valley beat Fairless 87-50, Claymont track took care of Coshocton 98-35, and they beat the Rosecrans 21 in a little three-way battle for the Mustangs. And then the final track and field deal on the girls' side, Ridgewood destroyed Sandy Valley 110.5 to 60.5. Newcomerstown had 57, Heritage Christian with 26. And then a couple boys' tennis scores as well. Dover over Canton Central Catholic 3-2. New Philadelphia over Steubenville 4-1. Coshocton nips Highland 3-2.
With that, headlines are next, but first this message from Dr. Richard Burns and Dr. Nathan Springer, who are making the community smile with confidence.
Dr. Richard Burns and his partner, Dr. Nathan Springer, are in the business of making smiles. Specializing in braces for children and adults, Dr. Burns and Dr. Springer provide smiles that can be recognized anywhere. Just look at the winning smile on some of the players. Compliments of Dr. Burns Orthodontics. Hey, that smile of pride on the face of mom and dad might be from Dr. Burns, too. Dr. Richard Burns and Dr. Nathan Springer Orthodontics, in the business of making smiles. 107 Ray Avenue Northeast in New Philadelphia.
Welcome back to the show. A quick reminder, follow Big Z Sports on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports and on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. Chris, it's now time for headlines.
It is time for headlines, and we are in the middle of some playoff basketball and hockey action. The basketball side, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they beat the Pistons 106-101 Sunday the 17th. They got 81 points from their big three, Kyrie, LeBron, and K-Love. Game two is tonight at 8 o'clock. What do you think? I mean, I think as far as those three are concerned, they're hitting on all cylinders. If they can, you know, stop getting slow starts, I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. I think all three of those guys need to play well again. I don't know if they necessarily need to score 81 of their points, but I think if J.R. Smith gets hot, that'll cut down on the big three having to score. And if Tristan Thompson could come in and you know, get his rebounds and put a few back too as well. But, you know, they looked pretty good. Defensively, they need to tighten some things up and not be so lax on the defensive end. But I think offensively, they are hitting a stride. LeBron looked like a man-child on Sunday. And it's going to be fun to watch him through this playoffs, especially if everybody stays healthy. Obviously, Kevin Love gets hurt in the first series last year. Kyrie gets hurt at the in the NBA Finals. So, you know, we all said if they're all healthy towards comes to the final, watch out. Let's see what happens. And, you know, I think they'll dispose of Detroit, I think, pretty easily and go on to the second round. But you still got to win three more games and two up in Detroit. So I think they'll take care of business. But, you know, it's they need to continue to sharpen everything in their toolbox to get ready for the finals.
What did you think of Ron Jeremy's comments towards LeBron?
You mean Stan Van Gundy?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think that Stan Van Gundy needs to worry about his own team and let the officials take care of the game themselves. I think there were some bad calls on both sides of the ball. There were some bad calls against Detroit. There were some bad against Cleveland. I think what cost Detroit the game in the end was Reggie Jackson getting that technical foul late. Yep. You got to keep your mouth shut, dude. If you get fouled and they don't call it,
I do not like Reggie Jackson at all. This kid, I just don't like him. I think he has a way blown out attitude. Here's the deal. Does LeBron get calls? Sure he does. Does he get Michael Jordan calls?
No.
No, he does not. So I've seen LeBron get hosed really bad in some playoff games and in some big games. And, you know, so I think that's something that Van Gundy's, you know, trying to bring up to inspire his team, you know, maybe make some officials down the road take a little bit more of a peek with that. I think it's just a story more than anything. But
yeah, I'm not a big I don't mind Van Gundy. I don't like his brother, Jeff. I guess he's being rumored for some jobs now. Yeah. But you know what? He just needs to get his team focused and get them ready for Cleveland. Don't think it's going to make a difference. Even though I did hear an interesting stat this morning that Cleveland – There was only one team to beat them twice at home. Do you know who it was?
Detroit.
Mm-hmm. So if anybody can beat them at the Q, it's going to be Detroit, but I don't see it happening.
I don't either. And then taking a look, a couple games last night, Atlanta, you know, beat Boston to go up 2-0. Boston just cannot get a game started. They are absolutely, the last three games, they have been on some other planet in the first half.
Well, when you're losing one of your best players, Avery Bradley's done pretty much probably for the playoffs and probably for the first round.
And Olynyk was out.
Yeah, with a hamstring injury. So, you know what? You got to find a way to overcome that. But I just think, I think Atlanta is going to be just too tough for the Boston this year. Boston ran into the Cavs last year. So, unfortunately, they just got to win a few more games and get away from those two teams till later in the playoffs over the next couple years. And I think they're going to have an okay time. But
you can't shoot 27% from the floor either.
And you got to have your guys healthy. I mean, regardless, you know, you saw what happened to the Cavs when Kevin Love went down. And then, you know, if Avery Bradley goes down that's losing one of your top scorers. So it's a tough loss for Boston, but, you know, they'll fight through it. Brad Stevens will find a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, San Antonio, they ended up winning last night over Memphis. They go up 2-0. I think that series is over as well.
Yeah, I mean, San Antonio is a good team, and they showed that throughout the season. So, you know, the playoffs really don't start till, you know, maybe the conference finals or even the next round till a couple of these teams match up, and they'll be good matchups.
Right. The games tonight, of course, the Cavs and Pistons, Miami and Charlotte. Miami's up 1-0 in that series. The Clippers and Blazers are also tonight. LA's up 1-0. The game's tomorrow, Oklahoma City and Dallas. That series is tied at 1. The Pacers and Raptors, they're also tied at 1. And Golden State and Houston is also tomorrow in the nightcap. And Golden State up 2-0.
Yeah, those will be good games. I know Steph Curry's battling an injury there for Golden State. And he'll probably be back on Thursday to play game 3. And I just... I don't know. I was, you know, Golden State is a good team with or without Steph Curry, but they're just that much better with him. And if he doesn't play through this first round, I think they're going to be fine. They get later in the playoffs and he's hurt or something, that could raise a problem. But, you know, right now I think the best for the Golden State Warriors, I think, would be for him just to rest and get out, you know.
I agree 100% with you. I think Steve Kerr just needs to say, hey, unless they come back and tie the series for whatever reason, you're just going to sit down and rest because we need you down the road when San Antonio and probably Cleveland come to town. We don't need you against Memphis.
Or Houston or anybody else that's in
right,
the West.
Right, exactly. So taking a look at some Major League Baseball, the Cleveland Indians, they beat the Seattle Mariners last night on the 19th, 3-2. Rajay Davis, Mike Napoli, and Francisco Lindor had the RBIs. Lindor was actually 4-for-4 on the night. Carlos Carrasco got his second win of the season on the mound. Game two of Seattle's tonight at 6:10. The Indians 6-5, fourth in the Central right now.
Yeah, they're doing okay. They'll be all right. They just need to keep getting some good pitching. And, you know, Corey Kluber's not getting that run support, as we mentioned earlier. You know, he keeps pitching well, but Carlos Carrasco's been pitching very well. And, you know, the offense is coming back. I mean, I think they'll be all right. But they just need to keep plugging away and keep going at it. So, you know, Cleveland will be fine. And, you know, go on to the Reds. They're struggling a little bit. You know, they're young, of course. We knew that coming in. They were 5-1 to start the season. They went 1-5 in their next six games. So, you know, they are one game above 500, I think, right now.
They're both 7-7. Pirates and Reds both 7-7, tied for second in the Central.
Yeah, and the Reds finish up the series with Colorado today with a day game on Wednesday the 20th. That's a 12:35 first pitch. So, you know the Reds, Robert Stevenson didn't look too bad last night for the Reds. Didn't catch any of it, but I read the stat line. It didn't look too bad. I know Brandon Phillips was 4-for-4 mm-hmm. in a game last night. They did steal five bases, I believe, in one inning last night, did the Reds, which is quite impressive, if you ask me.
Yeah, and Billy Hamilton had two RBIs for the Reds also. And like you said, Brandon Phillips, 4-for-4. They beat Colorado yesterday, 4-3. They finish up this afternoon in that series. Should be interesting. And then looking at the Pirates, they lost to San Diego 5-4 last night. The 19th, Francisco Laureano was roughed up in the fourth and fifth inning. Game two tonight at San Diego. Again, the Reds and Pirates both 7-7, second place in the Central. The Indians, they needed to keep doing what they are doing. They're keeping their head above water and you know, not falling below that 500 mark and having a slow start. They continue to play well, stay around that 500 mark in April and May. They should be fine going into the summer months.
Yeah, the Indians will be okay. I mean, I think they're going to, you know, the Pirates will be all right as well. I mean, the Reds will end up near the bottom, just like, you know, we thought they would. But you know what? It's, you know, the Indians have some pieces there. I think they can compete for a long time. And at least this season, and if they have to add a bat or an arm or something, I think they've got the pieces where they can do mm-hmm. it. The Pirates are pretty set. They've got the arms. They've got the offense. They just got to get it going.
Right, exactly. I agree. And then on the racing side, of course, Carl Edwards, he backflipped at Bristol on Sunday. Pretty cool to see Carl Edwards, pretty good dude. NASCAR this week is at Richmond on Sunday. On the IndyCar side, Simon Pagenaud won at Long Beach, and they are at Barber Motorsports Park in Birmingham, Alabama this weekend. You got to have a great weekend last weekend on Saturday. Why don't you fill us in on some of that Buckeye Spring game?
Yeah, you know, hanging out the Buckeye Spring game last weekend, the Gray won 28-19, I believe it was, or 28-17. And, you know, there were some positive things to come out of that game that I saw. Joe Burrow.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Athens Plains quarterback that we talked about a couple years ago when he was in high school, had a great game, threw three touchdown passes. Yeah, looked very, very good. I think he solidified the second spot behind JT Barrett. There's no quarterback competition this year, but I think Joe Burrow will be the backup to JT Barrett. Some other key players for the game. Mike Weber looked very good. Torrance Gibson looked really good. The defensive line looked really good. You know, the linebackers played pretty well. Jerome Baker had a great one-handed interception down by the goal line. Marshawn Lattimore looked good. Malik Hooker as well. And, you know, it was just an overall, it was a beautiful day out. Top of my head still hurts a little bit. I got sunburnt, but, you know, I got to see my old high school coach that I played for. And it was kind of neat to see him. He is coaching the number 3 overall prospect in the country for 2017 in Josh Myers, which he's an Ohio State commit already. Got to talk to Josh a little bit as well. And, you know, after the game, we talked to Urban Meyer, and he made an interesting comment at the press conference. You know, he says, you know, he talks about what you have to do to play quarterback at Ohio State.
If you play quarterback in Ohio State's offense, you have to be a Heisman candidate, or we're going to suffer.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And I think Joey Burrow, man, he looked really good. Some of the stuff that I seen, I watched a little bit of the replay on the Big Ten Network. Couple of those passes, the over-shoulder passes, there was a couple that was even dropped that were deep balls that probably should have been caught by the receivers. But, man, the touch on the ball that he had was outstanding. I thought JT Barrett looked very rough in that game. And then, like you said, Hooker, how about the interception return for the touchdown?
Sure.
I got to see that. So, yeah, I did get a chance to peek in. I didn't see much of Weber. Seeing him, the main thing is he looks good and he looks healthy.
Sure.
So that was the main thing. What did Briante do? I didn't get to see him at all.
Briante didn't play. He tweaked an ankle in practice earlier in the week. And you mentioned Joe Burrow a little bit ago. And, he said something talking to him as well after the game. And he says, he feels that he can now play at Ohio State. He knows he can play for the Buckeyes and play at this level.
Coach Mara always talks every quarterback has to be a Heisman candidate. And so they're not going to bring their level down to the players that we have. We have to come up to their level. And I have a long way to go to get there. I feel like JT is there, and I have to get to his level.
Yeah, and, I'll tell you what, I agree with him. And if JT goes down for whatever reason, I think Urban's got the confidence that he can go to Joe Burrow and everything's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I would agree with him. I think Burrow looked very, very good. He looked poised. He threw the ball well. Torrence Gibson really stepped up, and Urban thinks that he can make an impact as well coming up in the fall, as long as everyone stays healthy, of course. The offensive line needs some work as well. And one interesting comment that Urban said about their defensive ends, he said in the press conference as well, he feels that you need to be a first-round draft pick to play defensive end at Ohio State, which is quite impressive if you think about it. He said some other things as well, and it really opened my eyes to what he looks for. If you're coming to Ohio State to play, you better be ready to play and play at the next level even when you get there.
Torrence Gibson, do you think that this, how well he's looked at the wide receiver position, do you think this solidifies the fact that he is no longer a quarterback at Ohio State?
Yeah, I mean, that was solidified last year when they went ahead and moved him to wide receiver. It was his choice in fall ball to move to wide receiver. He got hurt a little bit and, kind of got messed up in the head a little bit, kind of let the confidence get away from him a little bit. And I believe he redshirted last year. So, he has a year under his belt. He'll come out. He's fast. Our defensive backs, the Ohio State defensive backs that were playing against him, had a tough time keeping up with him. He's 6'4", 215 pounds, and he can run.
He looked good.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Gibson is, he is fast, and he can catch. He made a couple nice over-the-shoulder catches in the game for a touchdown. And, it's exciting to see the young talent. Austin Mack had the case of the dropsies a little bit, but I think he'll be fine. Marcus Bowe, the tight end, he'll be starting tight end. He had 7 or 8, 9 catches in the game. Looked very, very good as well. So, overall, I came away very, very impressed with the team. And I think a lot of good things are going to happen in the fall. You just got to be patient with them.
Did you get a chance to catch up with Berm?
I did, and funny story is, met him on the field. As you all may know, we talk to Jeremy Birmingham from 11warriors.com each Friday night with our Buckeye Breakdown segment, and we had never met him in person. We've always talked to him over the phone, and even myself, I had never met him in person, and I was out on the field about the 50-yard line after the game was over waiting to talk to a couple coaches and players and stuff, and funny story, how I introduced myself to him. I walked up to him and said, hey, I told him who I was and who I worked for. He's like, hey, man, it's great to meet you. Really cool guy. And unfortunately, I had to tell him that his zipper was down.
Nice. So I'm sure that'll be a story for the fall.
It was a great introduction. So, but no, Berm was working hard that day, taking pictures, getting interviews and stuff. But I know he was on vacation after the game and hasn't seen much on 11warriors.com. But it was great to meet him, and we look forward to having him again next fall.
Did you tell Herbs that Hot Rod said hey?
I did. Okay, he said, cool. Who's Hot Rod?
Right. All right.
With that, this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Podcast will come to a close. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying thank you for listening, and thank you to Dr. Richard Burns and Dr. Nathan Springer, Orthodontics.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports, brought to you by Dr. Burns and Dr. Springer, 107 Ray Avenue Northeast, New Philadelphia.